Graphic Audio. A movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents Astronuts, Book 2, The Water Planet, by John Sheska and Steven Weinberg. Narrated by Nanette Savard and a full cast.
If you are reading this, then you have been selected. Don't look around like that. Act natural. Do not draw attention to yourself. Keep reading. The future of humans on Earth depends on you. Here is your mission. Read or listen to this book. Or both. It will give you all the information you need to know.
Astronauts, activate. For mission number two. 10, 9.
Mount Rushmore, the top secret astronaut headquarters. Inside the trusty old Thomas Jefferson nose rocket.
4.
We are the mighty astronauts.
3.
Finding the perfect Goldilocks planet.
2.
Not too hot, not too cold.
1.
But just
blast off.
Oh boy, here we go again. Another day, another secret NASA, not the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, mission. Just a typical day in the lives of four superpowered animal astronauts looking for a perfect Goldilocks planet, not too hot, not too cold, but just right, for humans to move to. Because I am your planet, Earth, I know that most of you 7.7 billion humans read all about the astronauts in mission number one. So you know how they blasted off from their secret Mount Rushmore laboratory in their Thomas Jefferson nose rocket and arrived to check out the plant planet.
There's so much plant life.
Look at all these salad possibilities.
The plant planet contains many building materials.
No intelligent life here.
And how at first, it seemed like the perfect new Goldilocks planet.
We are doomed!
We are prisoners!
This is not our plan!
We want to go home!
Then it turned out to be not so perfect. Then...
No laser shark! No spark! No spark! No spark!
Let's just say things didn't really work out. So that's how the astronauts' mission became even more important. Time is wasting, and my climate is getting worse. As your own scientists put it, Earth's climate is now changing faster than at any point in the history of modern civilization, as a result of human activities. And a lot of your human activities are messing with my water, which, as you know, is 71% of my surface. So, what exactly is happening with my water? In a nutshell, my ice is melting, my sea levels are rising, algae is growing out of control, plastic pollution is making huge garbage patches in my oceans are turning more acidic, my coral reefs are dying. Fish species are going extinct. If this keeps up, I am going to be called the big polluted mess instead of the big blue marble. So, I was pretty happy that the astronauts were heading out to look at a water planet, and I was glad that at least 3 out of the 4 of them were prepared and wearing seat belts.
Chapter 1.
Smart Hawk, Laser Shark, and Stink Bug were snug and safe in their seats. Alpha Wolf was plastered to the back wall of the Astro Nose Bridge by the G-forces of the launch. Once the nose rocket had escaped my gravitational pull and Alpha Wolf was back in his command chair where he belonged, Command Escape, the astronaut's boss, laid out the mission in his glitchy 1988 computer style.
Astronauts,
Begin mission 2. Investigate the water planet for food, shelter, and climate suitable for humans. No intelligent life may be disturbed.
I know everything about intelligent life.
The water planet, my people!
Water planet, but is there enough land for humans?
There is no time to waste. You have only 2 days for this mission, which on this planet is 100 hours, because the water planet has two suns. Two suns.
This will be very wet.
Official NASA transcript of Astronaut Mission 2.
Say, Command Escape, did you get our name fixed back to Astronauts yet?
Yes, Alpha Wolf. It is in progress. I turned in your new rename request.
Which means it will be another 85 days.
Actually, standard approval time is 7 or 8 months. 7 or 8 months. 7 or 8...
This water planet better be good. I've got wolfy things I need to be doing. So let's check this place out quick and get back here pronto.
The first data that we have on this planet is excellent. There is so much water in the liquid form that humans need.
Which is surprisingly scarce in the universe as a whole.
I am so excited for a water planet.
Personally, I do not really like to get wet.
Are we there yet?
Chapter 2, Joyride.
Enough of all this talking. Time for some action. Let me show you some really great Alpha Wolf flying skills.
Wait!
No!
Alpha Wolf grabbed the nose rocket's joystick and flew a pretty impressive loop, a nice barrel roll, a crazy cobra, and then a completely accidental pinball smash.
Whoops!
The pinball smash knocked into what looked like a not very important asteroid. In my extensive experience, it was one of those little things, like a flap of a butterfly's wing, that can sometimes turn into a very large, very important thing.
I told you not to touch that!
Why?
Because...
Chapter 3. Splash.
Because you are going to crash the nose rocket.
Chapter 4. Mods.
We're doomed! The nose is taking on water! I can't, doggy! I mean, wolfy paddle forever!
I'm guessing you didn't read the Mission 2 manual, especially Chapter 12, explaining how we can breathe underwater and speak all aquatic languages, or Chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16, giving us different choices for our water planet modifications. I didn't think so.
How could you skip modifications? I love mod mods!
Astronauts to the Astronasium.
I am so wet.
Oh, and if you, like Alpha Wolf, didn't get a chance to read chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 of the Mission 2 manual, mods, or mod mods, are modifications. That's the NASA word for the new superpower additions the astronauts get for each new mission. It's another reason they liked to think of themselves as superheroes.
Alpha Wolf, new astro power. Hyperspeed doggy paddle, 140 miles per hour, twice the speed of the fastest sea animal, the sailfish. Plus, added killer whale pack leader bossiness and greatest killer whale underwater silky smoothness.
Alpha Wolf practiced his hyperspeed doggy paddle in the new Nanas Aquarium that the scientists had installed in the Astronasium. Alpha Wolf chose to have the dorsal fin of a killer whale added to his back because he thought it made him look tough.
Oh yeah! Killer!
Laser Shark, new astro power. Super bright, super blinding smile from her anglerfish bulb, 3.14 million lumens. Plus, super colorful. Light contains every color in every rainbow, ever. Super fun!
Laser Shark was already well adapted to life underwater, So she got the light of an anglerfish attached to her forehead for her Mod Mod. Anglerfish live very deep in the ocean where it's always dark, and they use a bright light attached to a long antenna to attract prey, like bait on a fishing line.
This will come in handy if I ever need to light the way for my friends. Besides, I think it makes my super smile look even more dazzling. Brilliant!
Smart Hawk. New Astro Power. Perfect duck feet for generating dark energy whirlpool power. Plus, perfect propulsion and perfect slapping sound for walking on dry land.
Yes, Smart Hawk got duck feet. I know, scoff and roll your eyes all you want, but this was a good decision. Trust me, I'm Earth, I know feet, and I know duck feet can come in very handy. Or should I say, footy?
Duck feet!
What a quack up!
Stink Bug, new Astro Power, seriously strong ink cloud, plus seriously stinks as much as original PFFT defense system.
And Stinkbug got the most serious Mod Mod of all.
Squid tentacles! Squid water jet propulsion! And a squid ink squirting mechanism! Incredible!
The astronauts met in the astro porthole to begin their check of the water planet, but mostly to admire their new mods.
Oh, right! Now I remember! Breathing underwater and looking like an orca makes me even greater!
Astronauts, what are you doing? The nose rocket is being swarmed by marine life. Investigate now! Investigate now! Investigate!
Chapter 5. Aqua Party?
It was a good thing that at least Command Escape was doing his job, because he was 100% right. The astronauts looked out the nose rocket porthole and saw that, yes, the nose rocket was being surrounded by marine creatures.
This is a big moment. First contact. We should consider all options and make a careful decision.
We're being attacked by savage sea monsters!
Look at all those new possible friends!
Those sharp claws and pointy fins do not look very friendly.
We have to get out there and fight. Mission leader's orders.
The rest of the astronauts weren't really sure Alpha Wolf was right, but he was the mission leader, so they followed his order. And blew out of the nose rocket to fight. Using his new killer whale fin and hyperspeed doggy paddle, Alpha Wolf attacked a sea monster.
Spread out!
Smart Hawk started stirring a duck feet whirlpool.
Oh my goodness!
Stinkbug got ready to shoot his squid ink. Laser Shark reluctantly amped up her angler bulb and prepared to shoot super electromagnetic laser bolts from her tail.
I'd really prefer diplomacy!
But fortunately for the astronauts, Laser Shark looked more closely at the sea monster Alpha Wolf was fighting. She noticed the sea monster was holding a banner.
What does this say?
What does what say?
The banner!
What banner?
Alpha Wolf, stand down for just a second.
Hey, you can't get me.
Then Alpha Wolf saw the banner too.
Orders?
The sea monster had been fighting Alpha Wolf one-handed, or clawed, but now it used both claws to hold up the banner for all to see.
Welcome?
Oops.
Yes, welcome to the greatest planet in the universe!
Chapter 6, Clam You Very Much.
So, it turned out that it wasn't a water planet attack. It was a water planet welcome parade for the astronauts.
Welcome, 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 you wonderful astronauts. I'm President P.T. Clam at your service, and happy to welcome you to our most aquatically fantabulous water wonderland of a planet. Step right up. please join our humble parade in your honor. We have a great surprise for you.
I knew this was not an attack. I totally knew it was a welcome parade. This planet loves us. We're the best. Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished? This is clearly intelligent life. It does not work as a Goldilocks planet. We should leave now.
That is one of our rules.
But this could be such a lovely planet. We have to know more. Think of all the friends we could make.
President P.T. Clam gestured toward an elaborate, open Nautilus shell coach pulled by four magnificent seahorses.
Mission leader Alpha Wolf, may I humbly request that you consent to be the Grand Marshal of our parade so that the entire populace may witness your gracious wonderfulness?
Aww, of course I will.
Alpha Wolf, this isn't right.
It would be rude to refuse, Lieutenant Smart Hawk.
He does have a point. We only just got here.
Yes, we did. So how do they know who we are?
The rest of the astronauts were directed into smaller one-seahorse coaches. The sea monster with the banner, who was actually just a very large lobster, took its place at the head of the parade. The clam majorettes poised themselves on their clam feet. They each had only one. And the clam drum major somehow raised his staff. I have to admit, it was a pretty impressive parade. Though, word to the wise, when people are really excited to see you, you might want to find out exactly why they are so excited. All this hoopla reminded me of when humans first started drilling oil out of me. We were all excited then, too. But look how that has turned out.
I love my people!
This place is pretty amazing, but I don't see how it can be our Goldilocks planet.
A very good use of seahorse power.
President P.T. Clam had joined Alpha Wolf on the Grand Marshal's coach, where they both grinned and waved and blew kisses. P.T. clapped Alpha Wolf enthusiastically on the back.
You!
Me!
After much fanfare and welcome waving, the parade approached a flat-topped seamount. On its summit sat a very impressive building with long colonnades of coral columns on all sides. The tops of the Clamrinthian columns were festooned with clamshells. Above the columns were friezes of clams in togas.
Astronauts, astro-friends, I give you the Clam Parthenon. This is our house of all clam government. It is where our finest clams helpfully rule over the water planet. Led by me, the president, for life.
Leader for life? That is a great idea.
But surely you must listen to everyone and consider their feelings.
Very interesting. A planet of mostly water, run by clams as the dominant species, reminds me of humans.
Stinkbug couldn't keep his expert eyes off the huge building.
Good post and lintel construction.
Once inside the stately edifice, the astronauts couldn't help but admire the high ceiling, the bright limestone walls, the yards and yards of colorful bunting, the portraits of dignified-looking clams in costumes of many historical periods. They were led to a tastefully appointed chamber occupied by five important-looking clams. They had on well-tailored suits, wore fancy hats or hairstyles, and each of their single feet wore an expensive-looking shoe or boot.
I present to you the Clam Senate. We make all the rules for the good of all clams and everyone. In a word, it is clamtastic.
Smart Hawk frowned.
Clamtastic?
Alpha Wolf gaped.
Power!
Laser Shark smiled.
Friends?
Stinkbug just watched.
Clams?
Allow me to make the introductions. This is David H. Clam.
Yes, welcome, astronauts.
Charles G. Clam.
We've been watching your progress.
Clamson Rockefeller.
Our clam satellites have intercepted everything.
Clam McConnell.
We really love your mission.
And last, but certainly not least, Cornelius Clamderbilt.
And do we have a great plan for you?
Chapter 7, The Clamazing Plan.
President P.T. Clam, we love this welcome, but there is one huge problem. We are looking for an uninhabited planet with no intelligent life. Our mission rules say we have to leave. Now.
Lieutenant Smarthawk, a word?
Alpha Wolf maneuvered Smarthawk away from the senators.
Don't mess this up. They like me. I mean, us. What more do we need to know?
A lot!
Oh, great barnacles, Lieutenant Smarthawk. We would never want you to break any rules, which is why you are going to love our fantastic plan. Senators, please bring in the display whale.
Charles and David, the Clam brothers, hopped on their single feet to a large double door on the other side of the room. An enormous whale swooshed majestically into the room. Drawn across her massive side was a diagram featuring two planets surrounded by statistics and talking points. Under her expansive chin was a large sticker bearing the title Chalk Whale and a copyright symbol. Over that was a small picture of a clam on a pedestal and the words Clams for Prosperity. The whale looked decidedly bored. Maybe she was a student, just temping with the Chalk Whale Company to make a few clams while she waited for her ship to come in.
Have we got a clam-amazing deal for you? A never-before-never-again one-time incredible offer.
P.T. Clam gestured at the Chalk Whale diagram.
So, between us we have two planets, right? Yours, Earth, just a terrible mess. Ours, the water planet, the most wonderful aquatic paradise. So, what are we offering? To swap planets. You get this beautiful, hardly used at all land built just for humans planet. And we take that polluted, overheated, acid water, coral reef dying junker of a planet Earth off your hands. And why, you might ask? Because we like you. And filtering water is what we clams do best. We can happily filter and clean Earth water.
You have to admit, it did sound like a great deal. But I have heard a lot of smooth-talking clams in my time. And based on past experience, I've made it a personal policy never to trust a smooth-talking clam. Especially when that clam insults a planet he doesn't think is hearing his insults.
Fantastic! What a super idea!
I do like the idea of a water planet, but I am not sure this is a completely good idea.
It would be an interesting challenge to build shelter for humans, and I like challenges.
President Clam and Honorable Clam Senators, we are very grateful for your generous offer, but the swap plan is not our mission, and we are not even sure we have the authority to swap.
Oh, but you do! Smarthawk, I'm sure you've read chapter 2542 of the mission manual. It says your mission leader can sign this document. The FBI, Federated Bureau of Intergalaxies, swap agreement.
The what? I'd like to have a look at that, if you don't mind.
Why, certainly.
P.T. Clam held out the document for Smarthawk to look at. Inside the elaborate engraved banner across the top of it were the words FBI Trade Agreement, Official Document. Under that, she read, "This agreement swaps two planets. No givebacks. All 100% legally binding and real. This is not fake. Valid across the entire universe." Then, like any other legal document, there was lots and lots and lots of fine print. Smarthawk engaged her perfect 9000x zoom vision to read it.
Hey!
But P.T. Clam snatched it away. The only fine print she managed to read before the document disappeared was Chapter 1, Loomings, Call Me Ishmael, which sounded suspiciously like the beginning of Moby Dick, not a trade agreement.
Trust me! This makes the swap totally legal. Take a look at that chapter in your manual.
P.T. Clam smiled at Alpha Wolf and produced a large gold medal on a colorful ribbon. He swung it slowly in front of Alpha Wolf's face.
Oh.
His eyes went glassy. His tongue lolled out of his mouth. He drooled.
The manual says that the mission leader who signs gets a cool medal.
This was heavy stuff. Trading me for another planet on just a signature? That's a big step. It reminds me of the time some fish in my ocean decided to grow legs and live on land. Anyway, three of the astronauts decided they should discuss this first.
Official NASA transcript of Astronaut Mission 2.
We did it! I have found the Goldilocks planet! I get a medal!
Wait. We might be able to do this legally. I guess I missed chapter 2542. But we'll need to do our NASA tests first to make sure it's worth the swap.
And it does seem a teeny bit unfair that only one of us gets to decide something so important.
T.T. Clam must be a very good reader. I did not know there were 2,542 chapters in the mission manual. I am going to look that up myself.
But did you guys see that medal?
This is about more than a medal, Alpha Wolf. Think about everyone else on planet Earth.
Okay. I just did. And I'm sure everyone would love this planet. Who doesn't like the beach?
No, we have to follow all of the mission rules. We have to run our tests.
And look at this. Chapter 2543 says to read chapter 2542 again because it is 100% true. That does not sound like something the NASA scientists would say.
This astro discussion caught the attention of President P.T. Clam. He gathered the Clam senators around him.
Gentle Clams, the astronauts are starting to smell something fishy.
Well, that makes sense. After all, we are.
Don't say it! I mean, they don't believe we have their best interests at heart.
I didn't think we did.
Me neither.
Do you bumbling bivalves have any brains at all? Don't answer that, just listen to me. We need to lay it on and lay it on thick.
That evening, the astronauts were guests in the Clam Parthenon Banquet Hall. Clam waiters presented a sumptuous meal of delectable water plants and fish served broiled, seared, blanched, and even raw, with the head still on. Slightly creepy, if you ask me. All the senators smiled broadly when they weren't sucking on fish bones and throwing them on the floor.
This is a wonderful planet.
Well, it certainly seems to be, but...
We have art and music.
I admire art and music, but...
We have great books. I am a great reader of great books, but...
It's a perfectly healthy planet in every way.
We just need to verify that the...
Trust us.
Of course. Why wouldn't we? Right, team?
We will show you the wonders of this new planet that will be yours. Then your great mission leader can make it official with his beautiful paw print.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Thanks for noticing.
Chapter 8, The Clamtastic Tour.
And before the astronauts could disagree or ask any more questions, President P.T. Clam hustled them off to be amazed by the seven wonders of the water planet. Their seahorses galloped, or ruffled their fins, toward the first stop on the tour.
Behold, astronauts, the Clam Sphinx and the Clam Pyramid.
I never saw a cat with a clam face before.
At least it isn't missing its nose. Clams don't have them to begin with.
The Great Clam Wall.
A seriously impressive structure.
Didn't we see that from space on our way in?
The Clam Mahal, built by Shah Clamhan to honor his lovely wife.
Ooh, that's so romantic.
The Klamic Colossal Head.
Wow, that is the biggest head I've ever seen. Hey, Stinkbug, have you ever seen a bigger head than that one?
Oh, boy. Why, no, Alpha Wolf. I believe that head is bigger than almost any I have ever seen.
The Clam Eiffel Tower.
Are those clams eating snails? Isn't that cannibalism?
Oh, heavens no! Those snails are lowly gastropods, not superior bivalves!
Aren't snails and clams both mollusks?
The Statue of Clam Liberty, all yours.
P.T. Clam immediately rounded up the astronauts and hustled them away toward the spires of a distant city.
Monumental monuments?
See, I told you, this is perfect.
Well, I like it, but something feels not quite right.
Well, I feel like we are missing scientific measurements.
As a fellow planet, I have to say I was pretty impressed by the water planet tour. Just like humans had become the one main species on me, by using their big brains and working together, the clams had become the main species on the water planet. And they had made some very nice things. Like the city that was the next attraction on the tour. Broad, gleaming boulevards of crushed coral ran between towering buildings shaped like every shell imaginable. Spirals, cones, chambered curlicues, branches, and the flat and fluted shapes of clam shells reached toward the ocean surface above. Clam-made bridges of coral rock carried hurrying sea creatures of all shapes and sizes to their destinations.
Whoa!
Wow.
Say.
Welcome to New Clam City. Breathtaking, is it not? A city of millions of clams, bustling, hustling, thriving.
Have you ever had someone try to talk you into something you weren't sure about, and it felt like they were trying too hard, and it felt like this something was too good to be true? That's what this tour felt like. Next, the astronauts were brought into the Metro Clamdian Museum of Art, a fresco depicting the creation of clams by Michael Clamgio adorned the vaulted ceiling. Below it hung an enormous clamshell mobile by Alexander Clamder, a classic painting of a Clamble soup can by Clam D. Warhol hung on the wall, among other works by Vincent van Clam, Yayoi Clam-Sama, Clamonardo da Vinci, Georgia Clam Keefe, Mary Clam Sat, and Hilma af Clam. I could go on and on, but don't worry, I won't. P.T. Clam and Alpha Wolf stood before an enormous painting of clams dressed in fancy coats topped by broad lace ruffs. They wore wide hats with big feathers, and each clam's foot was encased in a high-heeled, cuffed boot. The brass plaque under the painting read, "The Clam's Watch, Clambrandt, 1642.
Now, Alpha Wolf, I'm sure you're a fan of Clambrandt Amundsen, Van Ryn.
Huh? Oh, of course. It's delicious.
P.T. frowned. Alpha Wolf finally looked at the plaque.
Oh, you mean Clambrandt the painter? Yes, what a, delicious painter.
Very dramatic use of light and shadow. Chiaroscuro.
A short distance away, Laser Shark was gazing up at the slowly turning Clamdermobile when she felt someone touch her fin.
Psst! Laser Shark.
Laser Shark turned to see a rather severe-looking clam. Her hair was pulled up in a tight bun.
My name is Susan B. Clamthony. There is something you must know. Take this sunflower. I will contact you later.
The clam melted back into the shadows and slipped around the corner.
That was strange. I wonder what Susan B. Clamthony must tell us.
Meanwhile, ever-vigilant Smart Hawk refused to be distracted by the impressive display.
This is all wonderful, President Clam, but it doesn't really help us with our scientific investigations.
President Clam headed for the door and gestured for the astronauts to follow.
But of course, which is why we have arranged a serious scientific look for each one of you, covering each one of your areas of study. But first, let's have some fun! Fireworks! Powered by our super hot sea vent. Just for you.
This is awesome!
pity.
Pyrotechnics!
Oh, for Glam's sake.
And an original song performed by the Clambernacle Choir.
Here's to the astronauts and the leader of a wolf. Let's hear it for the astronauts and especially of a wolf. They came from far away. They're here to save the day. Grateful Glams are here tonight to say. Thanks to the astronauts for all their powers and their guts. But most of all, the Whistlerans on bus.
Oh, my shiny tail, that was the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
Now onto your serious scientific looks.
No! This planet is the greatest! More fireworks! More songs!
No, Alpha Wolf, more science! We need some serious science!
Chapter 9, Aquaculture.
At last, things seemed to be looking up when P.T. Clam brought the astronauts to a huge farm traveled by machines that hoed, weeded, and harvested seaweed beds that seemed to stretch to the horizon. Only three or four kinds of seaweed. Not much biodiversity here.
Food, food, food! We have the best seaweed farms and fish ranches in the universe. These will be perfect for feeding humans.
I'm more of a small, organic farm shark myself. This is very impressive, though. Perfect for feeding lots of humans, but...
But isn't it great?
Chapter 10, Coral Condos.
Shelter, shelter, shelter!
P.T. Clam gestured grandly toward multi-story coral skeleton condominiums with curving balconies decorated with, you guessed it, clamshells.
Stinkbug, have you ever seen better shelter than a seashell?
Well, I...
Of course you haven't! Seashells are the greatest building material for humans.
Yes, seashells are incredibly strong because of their design, but...
But isn't it perfect?
Chapter 11, Mount Clam Fuji.
Land, land, land.
For the first time since their arrival, the astronauts and their escort bobbed on the surface of the water planet. President Clam pointed out a distant island that jutted above the waves.
You humans need land, am I right? Or am I right? We have so much land and it's so great, but don't take my word for it. Look at this.
Right on cue, a massive whale tail emerged in front of them. Drawn on it was a simple graph. The vertical axis was labeled time, the horizontal axis was called greatness, and the line that was plotted on it started at zero and went steadily upward.
So scientific.
That's very interesting, but it doesn't...
See that land? It's right over there. We just don't have enough time in the schedule to get over there right now, but it's perfect for humans, trust me.
Yes, but what kind of biomes do you have here? Forest? Grassland? Tundra? Desert? We need to have...
Trust me!
Chapter 12. Sold.
Back at the Clam Parthenon, Smart Hawk, Laser Shark, and Stinkbug were taken away for a tour of the grounds and the famous Clam Garden, while Alpha Wolf and P.T. Clam retired to his private office for sea grape brandy and cigars.
Now, Alpha Wolf, just between you and me, great leader to great leader, we know what a fabulous deal this is for your humans, but sometimes a great leader needs a little something extra.
P.T. hopped casually toward a small table in the middle of the room. On it, something lumpy was covered by a drape of watered silk.
A little something to know how much he is loved. A little something like, oh...
He jerked away the cloth with a flourish.
A mountain with his head carved into it 4 times!
Sure enough, the scale model on the table looked just like the astronauts' secret Mount Rushmore base. But Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Lincoln had each been replaced by a likeness of Alpha Wolf.
How about this gift, secretly just for you? Mount Alpha Wolfmore.
For me? What a great leadership idea.
Chapter 13, Clam Liberty for All.
Finally, the astronauts were piled into seahorse-drawn coaches and whisked back to the statue of Clam Liberty. They stood inside the statue's head, looking out over the water planet and all its wonders.
Okay, there you have it. The most clam-fabulous planet in the universe. Everything a human race could possibly need, all yours for the swapping. So come on over, Mission Leader Alpha Wolf. Let's make this official right here, inside the crown of the Statue of Clam Liberty. Press that very smart paw print here, and the deal is done.
That's a monumentally good idea.
I don't know, Alpha Wolf. How do we know all clams want to swap? And why do the Senate clams want to leave this perfectly nice planet?
This is a very important moment.
Okay, look. We have seen a lot of wonderful things. But before we can sign anything, we have to follow the Mission Manual Chapter 258 and fill out our astronaut first reports.
The astronauts quickly swam back to the nose rocket, a little more informed, a little more amazed, but also a little more confused about this water planet.
Alpha Wolf, why are you so ready to sign the swap? Is there something you're not telling us?
Geez, what's with all the questions? You writing for the school newspaper?
Astronaut first reports due in 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 5 minutes.
Yes, the NASA report clock was ticking down, but the science needed to be done. In the astro lab, most of the astronauts got right to work.
Eh, why are you even writing these stupid things? Let's just swap. It's a great idea. It's not like these NASA rules are carved in stone. On a mountain.
Oh boy. The clock is ticking.
My tummy hurts. I don't work well under pressure.
This is not going according to plans. We won't have time to triple check our math. Was that someone knocking on the nose?
Chapter 14, Nose Knockin'.
Much to their surprise, the astronauts found President Clam standing at the door. He tipped his hat.
Hello, astronauts. I was just passing by, and I thought to myself, those astronauts work so hard. I should be a good clam friend and help out. So I brought these reports for you. They're all finished.
Smart Hawk took the folder that P.T. Clam offered her and read the printing on the cover.
Astro reports, full of real science. Trust us. Paid for by Clams for Prosperity?
I don't mean to sound like a nag, but this bears repeating. If something you hear from a clam sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And also, if you are going to have someone else do your homework, you might want to check it, which at least Smart Hawk did.